demonstrates the issue with its pedigree reaching back into the 1880s. While other neighborhoods get the moniker of Historic Irvington or a similar name, Elliott neighborhood is one of the most important neighborhoods in Portland. The potential for council to offer development rights that are too open-ended would be a concern for any community member living near this set of parcels. It's hard to argue to community members that a uniform 5 or up to 10-story rectangular box in this lot is compatible in any context, whether it's the massing of a future structure or whether it's the design continuity of interfacing the historic homes found next door in Elliott's Conservation District. The massing on this property can be capped to give the developer, whether it's Ben Kaiser or another development party, a balance of greater density than the R1 zoning and some additional height while still protecting and working in harmony with the existing fabric and design elements of Elliott's historic homes. I would respectfully ask council to consider allowing no greater than a 3-story or 32-foot development element along the interface to the east with the historic housing stock found on Northeast Fremont and Northeast Ivy at a point 30 feet from the eastern property line, so that within the setback, if we were to start going up higher than 2 stories, that we'd go no greater than 3 after or within that element of the first 35 feet from the eastern portion heading towards the west within that lot. It seems compatible with the North Williams alignment to reach, and this is my own perspective, to reach 5 or 6 stories right along Williams, but not higher than 66 feet. And I'm speaking specifically to a higher height standard as we get away from the historic homes and along where we're starting to get a much more vibrancy along Williams and Vancouver. I'm also willing to offer, as a community member, the support for greater massing for a small footprint of, let's say, 800 square feet at the most in the northwest corner of the project to allow the project to become an effective gateway into Elliott in northeast Portland. This small corner element may be allowed to go to a slightly higher height standard to offer some prominence to the corner. Since a development proposal was already approved at this lot for a much lower height standard and only 47 units, anything bigger than the 66 feet along North Williams is simply too large. But nonetheless, that it's kind of hard for me to explain this since we're talking about multiple massings, but the concept of a massing of 66 or 60 feet along Williams, I'm comfortable with seeing it step up just in that corner, which wouldn't create solar issues and other elements for the existing residences.
Step up to what?
I'm sorry?
Step up to what height?
That's a hard call, you know, in terms of, I think I may feel comfortable with the folks within the design staff at the city making a call on that, because I don't think they're going to sign off on 10 stories there. They might give them an extra story or two. So from an architectural perspective, it has the prominence necessary to make it a building that's successful in terms of its aesthetics and other elements. But I would say, at least for the record, that I'm not in favor of that stepping all the way up to 9 or 10 stories. That might be a bit too much. I'm also certain many of my neighbors today may testify that anything greater than 4 stories is too much. I can fully respect this perspective based on the Albert to the north. The massing is a sensitive issue for us in our direct neighborhood. The recently completed Albert building project just north of this comprehensive plan and zoning map amendment proposal was approved using the community design standards, and almost zero of the community comments and input were incorporated. The project is such a hulking mass that one of our very respected neighbors even moved out of their home as a result of the impacts of the development. This project has the potential to be a turning point for City Council to find a new sense of balance with the needs of the existing and future community members in Elliott. We believe that a capping on the elements, as I described earlier, are a fair way not to limit the ability of the developer to reach a reasonably higher number of units than the 47 units that were recently approved through the land use process. I would like to also see this project incorporate a team of actual neighbors to help the architect successfully bring this project through the design process. Mr. Kaiser has expressed that he sees himself as a local developer. Through a new and more intense level of involvement of the actual neighbors we may find ourselves headed in a new and innovative Portland way to address our growth and our respect for community and our livability. Thank you for listening to the concerns I've raised today. Our neighborhood is very diverse. I cannot possibly represent all my neighbors in the room today, but I can thank you as the council for taking the time to listen to all the perspectives that we bring to the table and helping find the balance in our urban planning process that we are so well known for around the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? Van Orden? Thank you very much. And then do we have a sign-up sheet of individual opponents to the appeal, opponents to the application?
Yes, I have six people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Angela Goldsmith, Aaron Howell, and Paul Regan.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello.
Go ahead. You can be first.
I'm Angela Goldsmith. I'm a property, a commercial and a retail and residential property owner on the Williams and Vancouver Avenue corridors. I'm opposing this mostly because of the potential for the slippery slope concept. Changing that zoning just for one particular property, it doesn't make sense for the rest of the community. It opens the door for other developers to come in and say, well, we did it for this one. I've seen that happen before. I've used the Albina Community Plan and the Elliott Historic Preservation District overlays to my benefit on some of my properties in the past. I know that there are loopholes. I know that there are opportunities for bigger developers to come in who aren't as ethically driven as Ben, to come in and use that new designation to their advantage and against the neighborhood advantage.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Aaron Howell. I've lived in the neighborhood for 8 years, so I am new there. But I would like to represent somebody who lives right next to the project. Between my house, there's one house, and then there's the burnt-down house that they're going to tear down. So I'm very close to this. This is going to completely, you know, change the way our lives are. And I just want to stand up for, like, my neighbor Lawrence, who's lived in the neighborhood for 50 years, and my neighbor Uncle Charles, who's lived in the neighborhood his whole entire life. I mean, these guys, they're not here because they're at work, but they're scared that there's going to be this huge building pressed right up against their house, and it scares me as well. My main concern is parking, and if there was, you know, parking that went down, that would be great, you know, down into the, like, if they built it in. I'm concerned about the traffic. I have a small child. I'm planning to be in the neighborhood forever, and I just want it to be safe. And it's hard to get on my driveway, and with the developments continuing, the traffic is just crazy. Sometimes I can't even get on my driveway, and sometimes, like, with all the cars parked right up against my house, I can't see. So, you know, I'm concerned about that, and I think the traffic lights would be great. But I'm also, you know, concerned about just getting our voices heard, you know, that this is our neighborhood. This isn't a new neighborhood. This has been around. And even though I'm new to the neighborhood, I feel like we need to respect the neighbors who have been there for 50, 60 years and have a voice for them. So I think that it'd be nice to have something there, but maybe just not give, you know, a lot of open-ended faith, you know, put some rules, put some restrictions so that we can all be happy. Thank you.
Are you on Fremont or on Ivy?
Fremont.
And are there sidewalks on Fremont on
yes.
that block? Thank you.
Hi, my name is Paul Regan. I've lived on 68 Northeast Ivy for about 16 years now. And I'm just concerned that things would go higher and bigger than we'd want them to. A lot of what I've heard today is very positive, encouraging that those things would be taken into account. But as you know from being on that spot, and I know Ms. Novak here is from being at my house, actually, coming to the door, that it's a really nice neighborhood. And I think anything higher than, say, 4, 5, 6 stories would start to really get into changing the feel of that neighborhood. So my concerns would be the parking and the height as far as staying congruent with everything else that's going on in that area. And that's my concerns mainly.
Are there sidewalks on Ivy?
Yes, there are.
Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you very much. Thank you.
And the other three are Hosey and Udell Howell and Ray Cully. And we've had a request for one more person to speak who didn't sign up.
Come on up. Thank you.
I'm Christopher Knepper, and I live on 3736 Northeast Cleveland, one block east of Williams. I've lived there for 22 years. I lived there before anybody wanted to live there. I work with Legacy. I know what it's like coming off of the 405 bridge and trying to cross over to Cook. The gentleman over there said that he would never put a real tall building right next to some low houses. One block south of me, there's a 44-unit apartment complex. If you get a picture of it, there are some one- and two-story. Granted, they're older homes and everything right behind it. I don't know how the rose bushes get any sunlight. But I look out my front window now, and I see that 44 thing, and I thought, how are they ever going to get something even 6 or 8 stories tall? I know parking and noise is going to be a part of life, but not something that's almost as big as what we have downtown. And I'm begging you to kind of let my neighborhood be the way that it was. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Jose Howell. I own a building, an older duplex on Northeast Cook Street, right next to the new development that where the old Morningstar Church property was. There's always been a traffic problem coming off of, that has been mentioned, coming off of the freeway and up Cook Street and Williams Avenue. And that was one of my concerns, that Cook Street and Williams has been an issue for a long time. I've owned the building since 1957, so I remember Raven Creamery and all of that. And I know that you can't live all in the past, but some of the developments, like the building I think you were mentioning on Northeast Beach and Williams, and I'm not sure how much parking there is. I know there's a new development on Martin Luther King at Cook Street, and there's another building on the corner of Cook Street on the, let's see, it's the southwest corner of Cook Street. It used to be a parking lot or a car lot. There's another building on Northeast Monroe Street and Martin Luther King. There's one on Morris and Martin Luther King. And so one of my concerns is for the density of the traffic, the number of cars. Everyone's not riding bikes. And there's just a lot of traffic now. I'm thankful that the developer that developed the Morningstar property had garages. Each building has a garage, and I thought that was pretty well thought out. Too dense for my taste, but it was pretty well thought out. And the concern was that one of my tenants gave me this to come and talk to you all about this development. And it was the height to be concerned that most people seem to have, but how tall is it going to be? I know the thing on Beach Street is pretty big. My aunt lived right behind it. Can't see Williams Avenue from her house anymore. So those are the kind of things I'm concerned about. If we're going to have density, then well thought out about the people who currently live there or who might want to live there in the future.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name is Ray Cooley. I am a resident in the Elliott Conservation District, and on I live with my wife and three children. We live along Fremont Street, just a few doors east of the subject property. Although our family has lived in the neighborhood for only 12 years, I'd like to speak on behalf of quite a number of neighbors in our area who have lived there much longer than we have, and who are not able to express their concerns for whatever reason. We strongly oppose the proposed zoning change from R1 to RX. We strongly oppose a zoning change that would allow such an increase in density, floor area ratio, and height from the current zoning. The current zoning allows more than enough density for a site that directly abuts an R2 zone with 1 to 1.5 story homes. It would be a detriment to the neighborhood and to the city of Portland as a whole if it allowed a high-density zone adjacent to a low-density zone, not to mention that this low-density zone is in a conservation district. My wife and I are building designers with our own home-based practice that focuses on sustainable design. We're proud to be doing such work here in the city of Portland. Prior to starting our practice 7 years ago, my wife and I worked in local architecture and planning firms that specialized in affordable housing, multifamily housing, and mixed-use projects. So in our work, we strive to design high-density and mixed-use projects that are sensitive to its surroundings and in context of the greater urban fabric. We bought and moved into this area because of the density and character of a modest neighborhood. It's very close to both downtown and the Lloyd District. Residents of this neighborhood have a good balance of outdoor space, privacy, solar access, and proximity to amenities and services. So the impacts to such a zoning change are too numerous to elaborate on. Many of them have been addressed here today. Massing, so the building bulk, solar access, privacy, traffic, parking, pollution, and overall environmental impact. If RX zoning is allowed at this location, and we know what the possibilities could be if that zone is allowed. If you lived in a 1.5-story single-family home in a neighborhood of similar size homes, and suddenly an possibly 8 to 10-story building is built right next to you, how would you feel? I'm also a member of Solar Oregon, and my wife and I have invested in solar panels for our house, and we have encouraged other neighbors to do the same for the sake of reduced reliance on fossil fuels. In a building taller than 3 or 4 stories will essentially eliminate half of the day's solar energy access for the abutting houses, for the houses that are directly adjacent to this property. Not to mention the amount of light and privacy that will be lost when up to 9 stories of dwelling units or a wall could be looming over your backyards. So Williams Avenue and Fremont are already a problem with regards to traffic, parking, and pollution. Fremont Street is a narrow but very busy residential street with only on-street parking for many of its residents. A density increase would only make the parking and traffic issue much worse for the existing residents than a project under the current zoning would create.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Thank you all.
Request for one more person who wishes to speak.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And you have another person wants to come up? Come on up, please. Just state your name for the record.
Hi, I'm Elise Munson, and I live at 72 Northeast Fremont. It's great to see some of my neighbors all out and not in their gardening clothes. I'm here to, kind of echo what everybody else has been saying. I've lived, 13 years on that street. My house is a former crack house, totally redone from the floorboards and the walls to what I have today. I have seen that neighborhood change so much. I can't imagine living here for 36 years and seeing some of the changes, but some of the changes that I've witnessed, and I've come to terms with them, is the traffic situation. I have a nice driveway that goes up to my house. I can't tell you how many people I've had to apologize to just to pull out of my driveway. I have to stop traffic. The cyclists that go up and down there, it's almost impossible to see them now. I need someone to guide me out of that driveway. And that's on Fremont. I mean, Williams and Vancouver are tremendously worse. I just fear that if we don't put limitations on some of the massing of the buildings that are happening there, it's just going to get overwhelmingly worse. There's near accidents, and seriously, anybody who drives there between 2 and 6 in the evening, you will lose your mind. It has become so hard to get around that neighborhood. I take side streets, and that has become impossible to navigate as well. So, traffic, that's one major issue. It confounds me that I had to put so much research and energy and have people sign off on the design of my front porch and the steps that I had to put up for there to be in a historic house. My house is 1900. But then we have people talking about putting a gateway that's 10 stories high on a piece of land when I had to jump through hoops just to make sure my steps were perfect. That, to me, doesn't feel like you're really supporting a community, but supporting development. Phone should have turned it off. I also have a huge garden in the backyard, and that was one reason that I picked this house. Not only was it affordable for a 30-something trying to buy land, I have a huge garden, and I would strongly ask you to keep the size, keep it to R1 instead of RX, because my garden will suffer. I know it's really small, but I use my garden to feed. There are people in the, behind me who I've given fruits and vegetables to and really tried to make a difference in our community. And I know one person's garden is not going to make or break any decision the city makes, but it is a focal point of our community. And if you use that as a metaphor, taking away our garden to build the development that changes our whole community, it really breaks my heart. So I ask you to keep the zoning where it is. It's a slippery slope if we open the door to this. And I like shorter buildings. And I like to keep our traffic and our neighborhood safe and livable.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Questions? Thanks for coming. Okay, that's the sign-up sheet and additional testimony, and now we'll have an opportunity for rebuttal for the applicant.
Can we actually use the time from the previous that we didn't use?
If necessary. Yeah, right, you didn't use up all of your time before. So.
I'm not exactly sure as the process. Because as we know, we can't back up the zone change application.
Right.
Leave one for Commissioner
Fish and one for the city attorney there. So, thank you.
Is it possible, city attorney, to utilize the time that we did not use in the previous?
That's at the discretion of the mayor and council.
If necessary, just try to be succinct and proceed. We're nearing the end of this hearing, so we can be a little flexible.
Neighbors, and it points to, it appears as though we need a new zoning designation for neighborhoods like this. I think we're kind of caught in between an RX and an EX discussion. So what that solution is, I'm not sure, but that the diagram I gave to you may be a step towards that, because this is also one of the main topics that comes through design review is these mid-block zoning changes and how to address them. But it's something that we have to address as a city because that's one of the comprehensive plan almost requirements going forward as a city to have these dense sections amidst lower density areas for all the reasons I've mentioned earlier, 20-minute neighborhoods, walkable community centers,
and such. So it would be interesting to keep this discussion going later outside of this arena and discuss the potential for a new zone that kind of addresses some of the things we're talking about today. That is a gateway, I see, that location. And as I mentioned earlier, I think that is a very important hub, and it is a gateway to northeast Portland. So it would be interesting architecturally to address that other than a one-story grocery store. And I think that's one thing that we're excited about as architects and developers to kind of address what's long been missing there. Interesting discussion, too, about R1, whether it's R1, R5, RX, EX, IG1, IH. A good team can make or break a project regardless of zoning. So you can take an R5 zone and actually do serious detriment to a neighborhood with a bad development team, architectural group, just as you can with an R5, R1, R2, RX. So we talk a lot about in design commission, the potential of a site is often in the hands of those that are kind of developing it and designing it, because both can have deleterious effects. The Albert, which people are bringing up today, went through design community design standards. It was not a design review process. And that community design standards was trying to address all the step-down issues and massing issues, and that outcome is not very pleasing to the neighborhood. So what we're kind of doing, as I mentioned earlier, is avoiding that and going straight to design review, as well as a community investment component as well. Commissioner Fritz, you mentioned more commercial. I think more commercial in this RX zone would be very helpful, because it is the whole intent, as I mentioned earlier, was to get commercial on the ground floor, and that 40% requirement kind of diminishes that. It's always been our intent to have residential on Ivy, because Ivy is a very residential street, so we're going to continue residential down Ivy. Commercial along that strip makes no sense, but along Williams and Fremont, it does make sense, in my opinion, as the gateway. In regard to the last testimony about the front steps and all the scrutiny that went through, design reviews reviewed by a lot of departments and folks and staff, and I think it's a very successful process that has made vast improvements across the city and on large projects, small projects, infrastructure projects, transportation projects. So, and I don't expect any less on this project that we're going to go through with them on. So, thank you. And Dustin, did you have something to add?
Could you explain this?
This is this is just something I put together following my meeting this morning with the principal opponent. About stepping it in, somehow kind of putting some constraints on what height is. As you may imagine, I never imagined as a developer, as an architect, put a 100-foot wall against anybody's house. But I was excited when the neighborhood asked for the RX designation for the opportunity to have that gateway, to have some component that rises up higher at that corner to allow it to be demarcated as a gateway into northeast Portland. And to be, again, something other than the grocery store, one level. And so then this would dictate stepping down of sorts. And as you mentioned, Commissioner Fritz, 65-foot height limit is the limit of an EX. So had I gone in for an EX, that's kind of establishing the majority of the site as an EX designation. 40-foot height limit, as you're all aware, is an R2 designation. So the balance of the properties to the east, whether they're small 1,800 era homes or whatnot, they can still all be built to 40 feet. So what this shows is just matching that 40 feet for a buffer zone before we even start the process of investigating what could have been an EX zone, so that's the hatched mark, and then stepping up eventually to not even the full potential of an RX, because RX is 100 feet. This is designating 80 feet, and in my opinion, we won't even be at 80 feet. But I just want to leave the opportunity open as a development team to come up with the project that's best for the neighborhood. And in that struggle with the FAR and height limits, I think if we constrain ourselves too much, we may end up with zones around the city that we kind of regret in retrospect. When you constrain a zoning envelope, you end up with pretty homogeneous neighborhoods because developers just fill zoning envelopes. So when you're being too prescriptive with that path, it often has a negative effect. So what I would like to do is leave a little more opportunity to play architecturally with it, to solve it with the design review staff, as well as this local community group, and come up with the best solution for everybody.
And remind me, what's the height limit in R1?
R1 is 45 feet, I believe, 45 feet.
Yes. Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else that you want to add?
Well, I would just underline a little bit on the community design standards. It sounds like there's a lot of talk about limiting heights and setting setbacks, and obviously community design standards do those kind of activities, and they haven't been necessarily totally successful in the past on that. The design review process was really designed in order for people to have eyes on and get input from the community. It's fully appealable. It goes all the way up to LUBA. And so it is what the city has put in place in order to protect the community from those issues. There, I also want to speak a little bit to traffic and to solar access. Solar access is something we don't have in our code currently, but this development is to the west of those residences. So they do have significant south exposures as well as east exposures. So it's not like anybody's going to lose their access to sun entirely from those aspects. And then traffic. A lot of the problems associated with traffic are about the lack of those two signals. The local hospital managed to sidestep signalizing the exit to 405, and it's created a lot of issues over time as those growths in those transportation corridors have occurred. This site is obviously at a very important focal point at the end of that node, but again, all the more reason to provide and allow more density, more commercial use, and support that node in that circumstance. And to help cause those traffic lights to be put in, as Ben said, he's actually going to be contributing to the cost of making that area safer for traffic.
And on that note, we have no intention of building this project without those in place. I commute right through that area, both on a bike and a car, and it is, I agree with everybody, it's not working right now. It's one of the most dangerous intersections in the city, so it's my every intent. The doors would not open regardless of overlying requirements on this project until those are in place.
Has the principal opponent and the neighborhood association seen this?
This is the first year, the first to see it.
So. I think this is really helpful. Why on the Ivy Street frontage did you not follow the lot line in your suggestion for the gradation in the height?
Again, because if you kind of, I'm just imagining what the massing may be. I think very well it may. I'm just trying to envision where the floor lines end up and everything. So that's, you know, if you're... because it's an indiscriminate line. We can put that line anywhere.
Right.
But what that, and then I think regardless, we still have the setback requirements and the stepping requirements that would come into play through design review mm-hmm. and through, like I say, kind of going with the community. So I think this is just a starting point, Commissioner, but I'm certainly open to a suggestion if there's.
So right now underneath the zoning code, there's a 14-foot setback if you've got a wall up to, and I'm going to forget the height, but there will be probably a 14-foot setback along that whole edge anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So this is starting with a 25-foot. This is starting with a 25-foot setback just to start even with at the 40-foot height limit. And again, the 40-foot height limit matches the properties to the east already. That makes sense?
No, I have a couple of questions for staff, and then
okay. I do too. Ask any others for
I just have one question for. So, Mr. Kaiser, this map you gave us, are you suggesting this would become a condition?
Well,
in terms of the heights.
I would certainly agree to that. I don't know how this exact process works, but I would certainly agree to that, Commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. While you're both here, I'll say thank you for the collaborative approach that you're taking and talking, meeting with the neighborhood early, continuing to meet with them, and I hope that we can get to a solution that most folks feel comfortable with.
I totally agree. In meeting with Paul Van Orton this morning, we even spoke about that. If communication lines are kept open and the discussions are civil, I think it does, in the end, make a better project. I think where it kind of derails is when the communication is not civil and there's kind of emotions get involved. And I think the best thing for any of us to do in these situations is keep our egos out of it and kind of study the bigger picture of where we are as a city. And I think Paul Van Orton was totally adept at that, and I hope that I have a knack for that. So it would be nice to continue that conversation. Look forward to it.
I think that the council wants to encourage good development, obviously, so that does the neighborhood. The concern is that both have been burned in the past by turnovers beyond the control of the applicant. So I'm interested in setting conditions that will make it work. Hopefully you'll be the developer in the future as well.
Sure.
And on that note, it'd be interesting because this is not always possible, of course, this kind of discourse and the discourse we've had over the past 6 months with neighbors. So it'd be interesting to talk as a city outside of this, how to do that going forward, too, because I don't think you guys always want to be getting into the weeds on heights and zoning. And so there, we need to work on something that will solve this before it gets to this location, I think.
Well, it's a good discussion to be having as the mayor and his staff are working on the comprehensive plan updates and as the neighborhoods participate in that. I think you're right that probably we do need some new zoning designations and or some new standards within the current ones. So I have found in my community organizing that having a specific example is sometimes very helpful to say, okay, moving now from the specific to the general instead of from the general to the specific. So I think it's very helpful that you've been here today.
I agree. Well, thank you.
Other questions? Great. Thank you very much. You. And then we do want staff back and probably transportation staff as well. So, questions for staff.
Have you had a chance to look at this?
We have, yes.
Do you have any initial reactions? In fact, do you have any reactions to anything that you've heard so far this afternoon?
I think the graphic provided by the applicant, from my perspective, does directly address a lot of the concerns you did hear, particularly the principal opponent, Paul Van Orden, was, in fact, talking about something very similar to what is being proposed here. I would agree with also one comment that the applicant made about what he's proposed in this graphic is sort of the beginning step, and what we may not want to do is literally design the building before it has the opportunity to go through the design review process. One of the, as you indicated, that this would go through a type 2 design review, so it doesn't require a hearing unless it's appealed. If it's appealed, it goes to the design commission. One possibility that may address some of your concerns as well as the neighborhood concerns is the Bureau of Development Services has what's called a design advice request, where it's voluntary for the applicant to present early in the process their proposal to the design commission for sort of early input. The design advice request is noticed to the neighborhood, and the neighborhood can come and effectively participate in that meeting. That may be something that the council wants to consider, in fact, requiring a design advice request. And then also for, because this is in the Albina plan area, before they can even submit for the design review, they have to do the what's called the neighborhood contact requirement. So that's where they literally go to the neighborhood and you begin dialogue at the neighborhood level. Which, with the hope of influencing the design of the proposal. But, yeah, again, certainly I think this graphic does quite a bit in terms of addressing many of the neighborhood concerns.
Can you talk a bit about how the suggestions and concerns that Mr. Van Orden in particular brought up would be addressed in the design review process?
We do have a somebody from our design team who basically supervises the design review. I think I'd be more comfortable having him.
Okay. Thank you.
Tim Herron, Bureau of Development Services. Anything specific about Mr. Van Orden's concerns?
Give me an indication of, you've heard what he said. I mean, how would those concerns be addressed in the design review process?
Because if the process goes through the type 2 review, the design guidelines that apply, being very subjective, cover a broad range of issues relative to new construction on the building, materials, setbacks, trash enclosures, entryways and curb cut access to the site in coordination with PBOT. A lot of those issues are addressed. Probably most importantly, it allows the opportunity for the public to communicate and address both staff and if potentially through a design advice request process.
You're on, Tim. She'll switch in.
Yeah, I think you're on.
Okay.
Am I good?
Oh, yes,
thank you.
that opportunity for them to be heard by the commission. One thing the design commission is very attuned to is neighborhood input at projects. In fact, sometimes the first question that's asked at a hearing is, have you been to the neighborhood yet? We've had projects been sent away because they had not been to the neighborhood yet.
So. And the concerns about height and the varying concerns about height at different on different sides, that would be design review commission.
Yeah, I was also doodling with respect to Ben Kaiser. I think mine's easier to read. but I think it gets at that issue. It also allows the forum to have that conversation.
Question for transportation staff. So the applicant has offered, and maybe their discussion is already underway, to partially fund the construction of one or more of the two signals that are needed here to improve this part of the city. How's that going to work?
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, Commissioners Kurt Kruger with the Office of Transportation. Hard to get excited about transportation signals, but I am on this one. We don't have an opportunity to bring public-private partnerships to council very often. But Ben's let the cat out of the bag a little bit early here. Probably within 4 to 6 weeks, we should have an LID before council to put this partnership together. We're putting the numbers together, make sure the development team is comfortable with the LID mechanism. But the city is this summer designing and constructing the Williams signal with the Williams Bike Project. These two intersections work much better having two signals tied together that they speak to each other. And Ben and New Seasons and three others have voluntarily come together and said, we recognize that the city's short on cash. This area would benefit for this. We would benefit from this, and we're excited to come be a partner here. So right now we're just in the number crunching, what's the best mechanism to finance the private side of this equation. So this is a unique condition that we placed on here because we had an interesting timing situation. When Ben and I met almost a year ago, I said, you're going to be up against a wall here because the signals aren't funded, so we're going to have to limit your development potential until that signal is there. The signal didn't happen quite before he was here with his application, but my best guess is the signals will be operational before he breaks ground with his building that will have to go through design review.
So it would be entirely okay to put on a condition that the signals be installed, because they probably will be.
I think that's safe.
Okay. Other questions for staff? All right. Thank you all very much. So is there anyone who's feeling ready for a motion?
I have to make a
tentative decision.
Suggestion, and that is, it seems like we're very – Catherine was going to say something.
Catherine looks –
No, just carry on with your discussion. I just wanted to note that since this is now a non-emergency ordinance, it would pass to second reading. And since the hearings officer's report it constitutes the findings that would support approval of the zone change and comp plan amendment, it ought to travel with the ordinance. So you would probably not vote on the report today.
But if the council were to adopt additional conditions and attach them to the proposed zone change, that could be accomplished today?
You could certainly, if you have the language for particular conditions, you could propose those and, I guess, propose amendments to the hearings officer's report in the ordinance to incorporate those.
Or to direct staff to prepare those for when it returns at second reading?
Yeah, I mean, yes, you could. Either you need to have the precise language for the conditions today in order to be able to vote when it comes up at second reading, or you can identify the concepts that you want incorporated in conditions. Staff can bring the language back to you at second reading, and one of two things could happen. If everybody is happy with it and would vote in favor of it, you could reattach the emergency clause and vote on it then. Otherwise, by amending it then and adding the precise conditions, it would be a new first reading of a non-emergency ordinance, and you need to pass it to second reading again.
Well,
sorry for the procedural complexity.
Sense is, and let me see how the council feels. My sense is there's an interest in discussing some of these proposed conditions and giving some both indications to the parties to this case today and to staff about what the council would like to see in the approval documents that come back to us. That's my sense.
Yeah,
And I apologize, I'm excused to leave right now, but I'll just give my two cents before I leave. But, you know, I'm supportive of moving ahead on this zone change. I do think the stepping back and the height limits that have been proposed by Mr. Kaiser, I think, are responsive to the concerns of some of the opponents of the project. I also, you know, certainly support a condition that the traffic signals be fully up and operational before new development.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
The mayor, I came here expecting to oppose this because of the increase of height to 100 feet, potentially across the entire site. This has been one of the most constructive hearings that I can remember in my 20 years of participating. I'm concerned that the neighborhood and others have not had time to comment on this, and I'd really like to get our design review teams. I'd like to see what Tim's simplified version is. I'm certainly much more supportive of the proposal with some kind of height stepping on the blocks, and I'd also like to explore having an increase in commercial beyond the 40% on Fremont and Williams, but as to how much that would be, I'd like staff's advice on that. I also think that it sounds like the neighborhood and the applicant are very close to being where most people can be comfortable. Obviously, not everybody will be entirely happy on either side, perhaps, but that if we were to give a week or two for that continuing conversation to happen, that we might be able to get to something that we could indeed put the emergency clause back on and pass.
Commissioner Nowick?
That sounds right to me. I'm curious, what does the applicant think about the idea of, you know, giving it this another week or so?
Sure. With direction from the council, that is.
In what form, Commissioner? I mean, what would happen in those 2 weeks?
Commissioner?
Staff would come back with some revised
I
conditions.
Think staff would work with you and with the community to see, you know, I'd like to hear from the community, do they like this or not, or do they like Tim's, or what? I think there could be some very focused conversations over the next week to say, to bring back a proposal, because I'm not comfortable on the fly saying that this is the right map. And indeed, I'm not comfortable. I don't know how much more commercial would be a reasonable amount of commercial to have, but I'm responding to your intent and the neighborhood's desire to have more employment.
And I very much appreciate that. I guess I'm just curious, as you mentioned, if we go back out to the public with it, in what form does approval need to come back? Because there's some folks, I think, as you mentioned, that are not here even, that are upset, I think, even beyond what you've heard. So I'm just wondering if I go out to the community and that if we're adding voices to this conversation or if we're...
I would suggest that we continue the hearing for a time certain so that people could continue to give us feedback on whatever it is you come up with, and you come back with staff and the principal opponent to say, I'm not proposing another 2 months to hold noticed in the Neighborhood Association newsletter.
And I think it's a great idea. I'm just curious as to what it will be that we bring back. Is it a community sign-off saying, yes, we're behind
this? It's more the specifics on the conditions of approval.
Sure. Got it.
Maybe a refinement of this map, or maybe it is a sign-off of this map. I mean, I don't know whether the extra, 5 feet from 75 to 80 is crucially important to anybody or to you.
Great. So I would have some slight concern about the wording around the traffic signals, because obviously if Ben can't go in for even a development issues meeting or design review meeting or submit anything for additional land use prior to those signals being completed, it's going to set us back quite large, quite.
So I think, and I agree, I want to make sure that the language works for you. So
are we thinking that we're coming up with the language, or are we thinking
no, you're going to work with staff, right? Having heard the legislative intent of the council or the desires.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So let me add some comments to this, because I think we're pretty close. First of all, just at a very general scale, I mean, it seems to me, well, first of all, we're going to cobble together a solution in this case with some existing zoning designation and some conditions. That's what we're about here. And I think we're going to get to yes in terms of at least what the applicant wants to do and what many of those who've been concerned about the project want to see and not see. I think this has been an enormously illuminating hearing, not just about this case. First, it shows that a principled developer negotiating with a neighborhood in good faith can, as you stated, regardless of the zoning, get to much better results than the zoning would ever dictate on its own. So it shows the value of a collaborative process in bringing projects forward. Room for improvement citywide on that score, but this is an example of a particularly robust discussion between people at a neighborhood level who really know what they're talking about, care about their neighborhood, and a developer who's willing to work with them. Would that all cases involved this much goodwill and expertise? Second, it shows the weakness of the community design standards as opposed to design review in situations like this to avoid the big boxy building next to the existing neighborhood overshadowing gardens and backyards and looming over people's houses. So it shows that we have work to do in the revision to the comp plan in expanding the use of more inclusive and thoughtful design review to more places rather than relying on the gears turning just the right way in code to get us what this kind of dialogue can produce. And that's what I'm aiming for, and I think what we all want to see more of in the next version of the comp plan and the expansion of design review to more areas of the city. So I think this hearing for me, and I bet for the rest of the council, has really highlighted the importance of that work, not to mention all the big apartment buildings that have been popping up all over town under other zoning and other cases. So we get it that's a problem, and this hearing has really showed us the difference, I think, between the sort of dumbed down mechanical effect of standards, even the best standards that we can write, and what you can get out of a community informed process. So I think if we instruct staff to come back with conditions that say if we can enshrine your intent to go to design review in a condition, I'd like to do that. You've said you'd like to do it. It's better than the standards. If we can put that into a condition in this case, I'd love to see that. You haven't responded specifically to the design advice request provision, but
great idea.
If you're okay with that, then I'd like to enshrine that so that this sort of community reviews process will happen in this case. Again, we're sort of cobbling together what might be normal in the future process. The fact that there's a local improvement district in the works to fund the signal is great. Sounds to me like we ought to be able to construct a condition that says, please get that done, with the LID and city funding so that by the time these units are occupied, that the signal's working. And it sounds like it's going to be long before that. So I guess those are some of the things I'd like to see in terms of conditions. Does that match up here? So I don't think we've really missed anything. Well, and then yeah, this is the little trickier one. Is there a way in a condition to say a massing scheme that looks about like this?
We can attach that.
Put this in as an exhibit to say, this kind of massing scheme makes sense to us. No, we're not going to hold you to 65 feet on the northwest corner, but you've pointed out rightly, and I suspect most of those who are here to testify would agree that a thoughtful design review process rather than a council-imposed height limit is the better choice. So I'd rather say this is the intent that a massing scheme that steps down from a high point in the northwest corner to the remainder of the site and interfaces with the height that in the neighborhood R2 zone next door, something along those lines, which I bet our staff can do a better job of than I just did verbally.
Well, I would still like to have something.
Yeah, this is good as an exhibit.
With a maximum, because as I said, if it were to go to a different developer or different in the future, that would be good.
Absolutely agree. I guess I'd just like to say one thing, that if this, and I agree with you on all those points, if this conversation that we had today is kind of burdening my fellow developers going forward with more potential requirements, such as DARs and going down the design review process route, I think outside of this forum, but we should discuss fees in that process,
right?
Because I definitely question how expensive it's become, and I don't fault necessarily the Bureau, because I think they're constrained by our many other systems, but what the fees are now doing is inhibiting the process. It's becoming so expensive that unless a project is of a certain scale, the design review process, people will avoid it at all costs. So I think we as a city, if we make that inexpensive or free, which would be the best, I think you'll have more people going through the public process of DARs and design reviews.
Yeah.
And I think that would just help the city overall. So we may be charging a lot and actually short-circuiting or short-selfing or shorting out the process in the
And after 9 days of being the commissioner in charge of the Development Services Bureau, that's already on my list of things to look at.
That's
a good point. The only other issue that I heard resonating from several testifiers, both here and in email, was about parking. So as to whether there's anything that can make us feel more comfortable about that, I leave that to you and to discussions with the staff.
Yeah, it sounds like the applicant, your intent is to build more parking than the zoning requires.
I agree. I'd be less hesitant to put that on as a requirement because that's something I can't yet control.
Yeah, you're negotiating that. I guess.
So that's all. But I would definitely be above requirement. I can say that with confidence.
And again, just more in the way of commentary than instructions. I mean, again, it seems to me that if this decision by the council, if we approve this when we resume the continued hearing, if we make this decision, if we enshrine this set of agreements in this particular land use case, and you build the project that we think is possible from this discussion and these requirements, I hope it sets an example architecturally as well in terms of process of what the majority of the community wants to see in terms of thoughtful addition of density on main streets in the city. We've seen, frankly, some of the other kind, too much of it, and I think we're all looking for ways to get to the kind of result that seems possible here.
Right. Well, we're excited about that responsibility.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from council? Then we will continue this hearing and ask staff to return with revised conditions of approval. Anything else that you need from us?
No, staff will come back with conditions of approval that can be added to the decision as well as the ordinance. I think we need a date and time certain.
Okay,
and
got a
you
suggestion.
May want to clarify, staff. 2 weeks.
2 weeks, fine.
And so, Carla, that would be what date and what time?
And 2 weeks would be Thursday, the 27th, at 2.
And then the only other thing you might want to clarify is whether the hearing record is closed. That is, are you going to accept testimony when it comes back in 2 weeks or
I would
no?
like to get it because, as I said, the height thing was introduced after the neighbors had a chance to comment. So I'd like to get more testimony.
So it sounds like
you'd
like to leave the record open?
Leave the hearing record open, yes.
While that hearing is being continued.
Okay.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Then we are continued until Thursday, the 27th at 2 p.m. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a good one. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's a cross-act. I've not dealt with him before, but we can't get the S with this guy. We're